Up until now, maybe you've set your sights on the good land, which is Christ, and you're ready to enter in. And we have to realize that we're entering in together. Amen. Hallelujah. I wanted to ask you a question to start off with. And I know so many awesome brothers and sisters, you probably have no problem answering this question. And you can answer it in a lot of different ways, but just consider this question. And that is, what is God's eternal intention? Okay, just ponder that question. What is God's eternal intention? What's his plan? And I'll answer it for you. Like I said, you can answer it a lot of ways, but I want to start here. God's intention is to have an expression. Amen?
Amen.
It's to have an expression of himself, enlarged, an enlarged expression.
Amen.
And you know, in Genesis, the entire Godhead had something called a council. They got together, they had a good intention, and they made a decision. And this decision was, let us make man in our image,
Amen.
And after our likeness. And this wasn't an individual man. You might just think that was creating this man called Adam. But what follows is, and let them have dominion. So from the very start, God had an intention for an expression. He had a creation according to this intention. And this creation was a corporate man. A corporate man. Okay? And God is not after the positive things. Remember how we spoke last time about all the wonderful creation, full of so many marvelous things. I was told, I do know this, that certain cultures place a huge emphasis on names. And then I have a lot of Chinese friends, and they've said that, you know, a good girl's name would be like a bird, like, okay. Is ying, ying? I know there's all these intonations. Ying, 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 ying. Okay. Does that mean eagle? Okay, good. Right? To name your daughter Ying Ying or Ying. For me, if I met a well-behaved young girl, I would say, she's just like an angel. She's such an angel. Why is that? It's because we value and we place such a huge emphasis on such things as the birds and the angels. You know what? These were not made in God's image. We need to shout, okay? This time, shout, hallelujah, I'm a man.
Hallelujah.
I'm a man.
I'm a man.
Hallelujah. And okay, unfortunately, the story turned. We realized that. Adam, not just the individual Adam, but the entire old man Adam, partook of the wrong source. God's life, which was typified by the tree of life, never entered into man. Man was like an awesome glove made to contain the perfect content of Christ's life, but instead became filled with something else. And as far as God's intention goes, the old man, no matter how good intentioned the old man is, can never fulfill God's intention. The old man and the old creation were old, became old, because they lacked the eternally new life of God. Can you imagine? I asked you, what's God's heart's desire? Before his eyes, his creation had failed him. Man became old, all right? But there's a positive thing in the Bible, a principle that we need to really understand and praise. And that is that when God has an intention, nothing can get in between God's intention.
Amen.
Nothing can stop God from fulfilling his intention.
Amen.
Not his enemy, not man's fall.
Amen.
Nothing can come in the way of God's intention.
Amen.
And for this reason, God himself became a man.
Amen.
Jesus Christ. He died on the cross, and he took care of sins. He took care of sin.
Amen.
He took care of the old creation.
Amen.
He took care of the old man.
Amen.
The old man was crucified on the cross.
Amen.
And I want you to open up the Bibles, though, to Ephesians 2:15 right now. Okay. In the crucifying of the old man, something specifically was taken care of. Okay. When man fell, sin entered in. But you know what happened by Genesis 11? There was a disastrous consequence. Actually, you see it in Babel, the Tower of Babel. Man became scattered. Different nations, correspondingly different cultures. This magnificent corporate man had become a divided old man. Now read to me Ephesians 2:15. Amen. Sorry. Let's reread, starting with 14. 14 and 15 again.
For he himself is our peace, he who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition, the enmity, abolishing in his flesh the law of the commandments and ordinances, that he might create the two in himself into one new man, so making peace.
Hallelujah. Okay. Entertain me for a second. Let's do some gestures and repeating. Okay, repeat after me with gestures. Broken down the middle wall.
Broken down the middle wall.
Abolished the ordinances.
Abolished the ordinances.
Created the two.
Created the two.
In himself.
In himself.
Into one.
Into one.
New man.
New man.
New man.
New man.
New man.
New man!
You like that? Hallelujah. In man's fall, something called a middle wall had come up in so many different areas. Divisions between the cultures, just ways of living. Just walls, left and right walls. On the cross, he broke down the middle wall.
Amen.
He broke down the middle wall.
Amen.
And he created the two. Jews and Gentiles, but we could just say every division he created into one new man. I don't know, it's hard to really highlight this in an impressive way, but 2,000 years ago, a new entity was created. This one new man was a new entity because it had never existed before. Not only was sin taken care of, all the ordinances and divisions taken care of, but now, even in resurrection, God finally imparted his life into man. The old man was a divided man. The new man, headed up in Christ, is a one man. It's a one man. It's also a new man. Finally, God's new life had entered into his creation. And so let's read Romans 1 together. Amen. How many of you play Ultimate Frisbee? I like to play Ultimate Frisbee. I see Hans in the back. He loves Ultimate Frisbee. I'm not as good as Larry. Okay, the next time when you play Ultimate Frisbee and you throw off, you yell, Ultimate, right? Why not? Either outwardly or inwardly if you're shy. One new man! Realize this. This is a shadow. The ultimate goal is one new man.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Okay, let's read. Brothers, read A. Okay, and sisters on B.
The new man is the corporate God-man, who is Christ, the firstborn son
Okay. When the Lord Jesus died, you might have read this in 1 Corinthians 15. You know, his title there, one of them, is he died as the last Adam. The first man, Adam, was a corrupted man, the head of the old creation, and he was dealt with on the cross. But Christ was the last Adam. He terminated the Adamic old creation. But also in the very same chapter, he's called the second man. It matches, actually, his status as the firstborn from among the dead. Because on the cross, he was the last Adam, took care of the past. On the cross, in resurrection, he was the second man. He was the head, the firstborn from among the dead. And, okay, I hope you all know 1 Peter 1:3. Okay, write that down. You know what it says? It says that through that resurrection, and this is mysterious, actually all of us were regenerated unto a living hope. So you see that? If I called the Lord Jesus the firstborn, what's the implication? There's many born, right? When did that take place? We have to declare. Let's just declare it. I was born on the day of resurrection. Okay?
I was born on the day of resurrection.
Okay? Very mysterious. He was the firstborn, and he became the heavenly exalted head. And in that glorious resurrection, we were all brought forth in resurrection. And on the day of Pentecost now, the Spirit was outpoured on the Jewish believers and the Gentile believers. So actually, on that day, the body came into existence. The new man that had been created on the cross, had been created in resurrection, became applicable. Amen. Hallelujah. I know the truth there is, it's quite high. It really is. But it's very crucial to see this. And I need Spencer to help me. So here you see Spencer, a lovely head, exalted, uplifted, and there's the body, wonderful body, okay? If I chop off the head, what happens? The body collapses, right? Right? The body needs the head.
Amen.
We need the head. We love the head. We hold the head.
Amen.
What about the body? Okay? What if this head here come up here? Okay. Not so wonderful, right? I'd say even if we had solely a head here, y'all would run out of this room. But especially according to his intention for an expression, right? The head needs the body.
Amen.
The body needs the head. The head needs the body.
Amen.
Amen. So that's why we see the one new man and the body, they're synonyms. It's just the head in us as the members.
Amen.
It's so wonderful. So this is indeed, right? This is the ultimate goal in God's economy. Not to have individual believers, but to have, like this one, one new man.
Amen.
Amen. Not by himself, though. Okay, how about let's read Roman numeral 2. Okay, let's turn to Colossians 3 and let's read 10 and 11 together. Okay, when you get it, let's just start and read that. Christ is all and in all. Again, the last part. But Christ is all and in all. That's awesome. Okay. You read Ephesians 2:15. What did you see there? On the cross, he created the one new man. Then you just read in Colossians 3. How did it begin? Put on the new man. What? quite intriguing, okay? Well, I'd like to say that in experience, you all put on the new man when you believed into Christ. And that was a half step. And you completed that step when you were baptized, where? Into Christ. Right? And 2 Corinthians 5:17, very clear, says, if anyone is in Christ, he is what? He is a new creation. The moment that you received the Lord and you were baptized into Christ, you became the new creation. You experientially entered into the one new man. That was a great day as well. 2,000 years ago, created the one new man. Maybe 20 years ago, or less probably. 16 years ago, 15, 10. Experientially, you entered into the one new man. Amen. Okay. You see, with this respect to the truths, I hope this would be rich and not confusing, because there's two sides to the truth. There's the objective facts, and I'd just like to encourage you with the objective facts to praise, to state the facts, and to praise the Lord for the facts. So let's do that with respect to the event 2,000 years ago. Let's say, praise the Lord, you created the one new man. Praise the Lord, you created the one new man. Okay, but the other side to the truth is our subjective experience. And the first step of that was, what? Believed and were baptized. Let's say that. Hallelujah. I believed and I was baptized. Hallelujah. Okay, and now we need to eat a sandwich, okay? Do you like sandwiches? Sometimes not so good. Okay, this is a wonderful, delicious sandwich. Let's turn to Ephesians 4 and read 22 through 24. How about what we do is we read, sisters will read 22, and then all together 23, and brothers on 24. Okay, ready? Go. Amen.
And put on the new man, which was created according to God in righteousness and holiness of the reality.
Okay. Let's let's stand up really quickly. Sorry. First key phrase in verse 22. Let's do some gestures again. Is put off, okay? What should we do? Put off? Okay. Put off. Put off. Again. Put off. Okay. The key in 24. Put on. What should be? Put on. Okay. Okay. All together. Put on. One more time. Put on. One more time. Put on. Okay. But those are the two bread in the sandwich. What's the meat? Be renewed. I don't know. Let's do this. Ready? All together. Be renewed! Again. Be renewed! Okay, thank you. Believe it or not, we just touched all three mentionings of the new man in the entire Bible. The thought definitely pervades the entire scriptures, but the explicit mentioning, only three mentionings. Again, Ephesians 2. He created the one new man. Accomplished facts. We say, praise the Lord. Colossians 3, through faith and baptism, we put it on. But this is, I'd say, almost the best one, Ephesians 4. In an ongoing, daily experience, we are putting off and putting on by being renewed. Renewed. It's just a refreshing phrase, isn't it? Renewed. Renewed. We're being new mooned. He's the new moon. We're being renewed. Okay. One other highlight here. Okay. Come up here, Spencer. Hallelujah for Spencer. How can we say in our ongoing experience there's such a need to be renewed? And why is it that this renewing takes place in something called the spirit of our mind? What's the spirit of our mind? This is marvelous. Well, when we are regenerated unto a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, according to 1 Peter 1:3, our spirit was made life.
Amen.
My spirit is life.
Amen.
All your spirits are life. I hope you realize that and love that. And he brought us forth as his body.
Amen.
Okay. A body, the body of Christ is there wonderfully for, the body has the life of the head.
Amen.
Now, act like a tree, okay? I don't know, a Christmas tree. Okay. Okay. Well, I'd have to... okay, settle down there. Settle down. I'd have to say that a tree has life as well, does it not?
Amen.
What does a tree lack, though? Surely a spirit. Tree has life. A tree does not have a personality. Okay? Life gives forth an expression, certainly, but I want to take it from the body, even though synonymous to the one new man. The new man, the highlight, even write this down and enjoy this later. The highlight is that in the body, we take Christ as our life. In the new man, he's our person.
Amen.
And he's our personality. You know what our real personality is in respect to our human creation? It's not the spirit. Our personality is our heart, involved with our heart and involved with our soul.
Amen.
All right, thanks, Spencer. Which is made out of three main components: the mind, the emotion, and the will. Let me ask you, which one of those is the leading component in the heart or in the soul? It's actually the mind. You know why? It's because what we think about, what we set our mind on, just check your experience, your emotions, your heart, your love follows that right away. If your thoughts are in something, whether if it's a person, a thing, whether if it's good or bad, just watch, your heart follows right along. Then, what about your will, your decisions, your choosing? You set yourself in that exact direction. What your mind is set on, you love and you choose. This is why the matter of the mind is too crucial, not only to the Lord, but also the enemy. So I'd have to say, from that point when man was divided, we see in Genesis 11, humankind, mankind, is the development of the mind. Even based on your culture, there's a cultural mind. Based on the nation we live in, there's an American mind. Based on your major and your schooling, there's a thought process mind. Based on your socioeconomic status, what kind of family you were born in. Unfortunately, you can't get around this. There's a mind built up in respect to that. So, with all these mentalities, you might be saying, Ben, this is great. I'm unique, right? Doesn't this give the colors of the rainbow to this universe? I'd say for the one new man, for God's intention, for an expression of oneness, how can this be possible with so many different mentalities? We need Ephesians 4:23. Let's just pray longingly, Lord, renew my mind. You know, I feel like the verses there in Colossians 3, maybe you could still be looking at them. They definitely have a context of the Old Testament time, right? You know, Jew and Greek, something called Scythian, barbarian, slave, free man. You got the point, though, in that verse, right? That there can't be these things. There are these things, but in the one new man, this cannot exist. Well, you might say, that's Old Testament terms to me. That's all Old Testament to me. Okay. Well, there's cultures here in these terms. Consider even, let's just start outwardly. You know, I'll just admit it, living with the brothers before and in years past, tied to culture, eating is big. Eating is big time. And there's this thing that I just could never apprehend nor accept, and that's called like the hot cold philosophy of food, okay? You know, I would have a dear brother, and he would tell me that, Ben, what are you doing? You can't follow up that soup with that ice cream. And you're feeling that way, Ben. You need to eat a hot food, you know. And he wasn't talking about a temperature food. He was talking about a certain food that I guess was considered hot. You know what I'm talking about? I'm not making a judgment at all. But can you just see in something even as outward in the way that we eat, walls start to come up? Okay, let's take it a step further, though. What about your spiritual eating? How do you like to eat? I'll tell you, based on my disposition, I like to generally eat in a quiet and sober way. I get around Brother Ken. He's a hallelujah brother. Brothers, tell your neighbor. Oh, tell your neighbor this. Tell your neighbor that. Hallelujah. Get up and shout. Praise the Lord. You see that? Even with respect to our spiritual eating, because of our mind, because of just our upbringing, because of our habits, our preferences, there are things that come in between us. To pick on Ken again, you all realize that he's from Texas, right? You know what they like to do in Texas? They like to sing songs fast. Christ our river, Christ our water, springing from within, you know. And I know Ken is in the process, as we all are, of being renewed. I'm using purposefully somewhat amusing examples. What if you're in a meeting, though, and a sister calls a love song? That's not you. That's not your type. That's not your worship type. A love song, a slow song, just eating at you, eating at you. No, I want to sing 1151. Well, the Lord desires that as the reality, as a person even, he would become our person. Christ would become all and in all. Even some of these terms are involving people groups. So I'd like to ask you, what's your type? What's your group? What's your clique in the church? What's your type? What kind of brothers? Hallelujah, whoever said that. But we all know that hidden within, latent within us, there's a type, right? Maybe even, I hope we would never say this, a cool brother, a studious brother, you know, or brothers, as if that's a type of brother. Anyhow, we can open to the Lord that he would become all and in all. Actually, you know what the one new man is not? The one new man is not this collection of different people that come together in the same room. I'm afraid that I've mistakenly used this phrase to illustrate this. I come here and I look and I see all the colors of the rainbow nationally. And I say, hallelujah for the one new man. I see so many types of personalities and I say, oh, they're all together. Actually, you know what the reality is? There cannot be any of this. And we need to open to the Lord when he shines on us. What is hidden within us, even what's been built up in our mind, And the Lord is so ready to renew our mind. Hallelujah. You know, one gigantic old man thought is the thought to be an individual, the thought to pursue individual, even enjoyment of the Lord, the thought to be alone, to be unique. And let's read A that starts, since the new man. Let's read that all together.
Since the new man is the body of Christ, to put on the new man means to live a life by the body, not individually, but corporately, where we are delivered from individualism by the body.
Doesn't that sound marvelous? To be delivered. Oh, just to get out, to be delivered from this individualistic life that we all know is inside of us. Oh, in the new man, this is a reality. And, you know, there are some translators, and they translated certain versions of the Bible, the new man, as the new self. And according to what the Lord had given them, we don't judge. But it's an unfortunate rendering. Because what does this point you to? It points you to even an individual renewing, and that's not what we're speaking about. The new man was the two in himself into one. What does that sound like? It sounds like something corporate. How do you put on the new man? This is mysterious. But to put on the new man is to put on the corporate church life. The new man is not the new self. Certainly, the self is being dealt with and renewed, but the new man is corporate.
Amen.
And the renewing will maintain the corporate church life, but it's also the realm in which the renewing takes place. In other words, you want a new thought in this thick mind of yours that's been built up? The new thoughts, they come in the corporate church life. And I have an example. There's this dear brother. I became close with him, taking care of him when he was a freshman. And unfortunately, he just always ended up in a room by himself. You know, space was tight living with the brothers, and he just always ended up living alone. And we had this kind of this special back room, and he had to live alone. And I'd say at a certain point, the Lord... It was quite strange. Another brother vacated his spot. This brother got the chance to move in to a house with vital brothers, especially these two vital brothers. They were vital in life. They were in the church life. They were being renewed. This brother was nothing like those brothers. I'm telling you, based on his upbringing, he was nothing like those brothers. But he entered in. He entered right in. And you know what happened? He picked up a new thought. And he told me this. And this is his new thought that he picked up. He picked up the thought. His entire Christian life, he was raised in the church. He had never realized, and this is fundamental, but he had just never seen it. He had heard it. He had never seen that Christ could be, like this morning, our daily enjoyment. Can you believe that? His entire Christian life, he heard it, and he knew it was real in the meetings, but the behind-the-scenes Christian walk, he had never seen it. And he entered into these living situation, a corporate situation with two brothers that outwardly he was not like, but he picked up this new thought. And I was so happy. I just praised the Lord when I heard that. This brother, he really, his testimony is he got revived. He entered right into the renewing. The new man church life is where you pick up the new thoughts, and then you maintain the oneness of the new man. Lastly, I'll just end. How about we read B together?
Before we were saved, we were living in the old man and in the old society. But now we are members of Christ, living in his body. So we should put out the new man.
Amen. So this is very similar to A, but can we turn to Colossians 3, 12 through 15? Okay. Just for a little exercise, let's just stand up and let's read this together. Colossians 3, 12 through 15. Okay, ready? Go.
Put on, therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, inward parts of compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, bearing one another and forgiving one another, if anyone should have a complaint against anyone, even as the Lord forgave you, so also should you forgive. And over all these things, put on love, which is the uniting bond of perfectness.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Let the peace of Christ arbitrate in your hearts. This is a lovely phrase. I love this phrase. I hope that when you're reading 12 through 15, though, you really realize that this is not speaking of your own personal, ethical Christian walk. It surely encompasses it, but the context here, the phrases here, it's all about the corporate life, okay? And there is something called the mind of Christ, okay? In Philippians, it says, let this mind be in you. And in Ephesians 4, it says that we're learning Christ as the reality is in Jesus. So just to conclude with this, just as much as this mind has been built up your entire life, the renewing process, you know what it is? It's allowing the mind of Christ to infiltrate, to saturate, to become our mind. And it's to learn Christ. It's to pick up new thoughts. Amen. Does that sound encouraging to you?
Amen.
I hope that we would run away in fright from our old man and the old mind, that we would flee to Christ as the head of the new man.
Amen.
And flee to the church life. Flee to the members. Your entire life, just stay here, picking up new thoughts. The chief thought, the Lord is always speaking. He speaks in the way of life and peace. All that he continues to speak is, join yourself. Be one with those that even are not like you outwardly. That's what he continues to speak. Just join yourself to him. Be one with that brother. Be one with that sister. Something comes in between you. Forgive that brother. Forgive that sister. You know, this ongoing daily process is going to keep the one new man.
Amen.
Amen.
How about a hallelujah? Three hallelujahs.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Let's read the title of this message one more time, could we?
Putting on the new man and the constitution and renewing of the new man.
Amen. Putting on the new man. This is really quite high, quite deep, quite marvelous, but it may not be that easy to see. And I hope we're getting some appreciation here regarding the new man. You know, he's mentioned it, the body of Christ is a big thing. But do you realize that the Lord, he wants something that's even higher than that? Do you realize that the body is one thing, and the Lord wants that to come back, but there's something that is even higher than that, and that's the new man. Why is the new man higher? Yeah, it was mentioned that the body is a matter of life, and the new man is a matter of person. You know, you may have... the new man is a matter of the person. And one thing about a person... You may have life, but that comes from your eating and drinking and so forth. But what about your decisions? That's a whole other realm. Actually, if you think about it, you know, Spencer is a person who makes decisions. And actually, if you really want to know Spencer, you just consider his choices. All his choices make up, really, mostly his person. What you choose. He chose certain kind of glasses. He chose a certain shirt to put on. He chose to brush his teeth or not, you know, this morning. He chose to have breakfast. He chose what to eat. All his choices. He chose where to sit. Isn't that marvelous? Right here. He chose. We make decisions all the time, and our decisions really express, they express the person, right? If you're not making decisions, then you're probably just alive, you know, on life support, you see. But the new man is something where the Lord gets expressed through the person. There's a person here. And mainly, I just say it again, the expression of a person is in their decisions. What major, you know, which teacher? Who are you going to be in corporate living? Are you going to live in the dorms? Are you going to go to this meeting? Are you going to not go to this meeting? Are you going to, you know, all your decisions, that's you. It just makes up you. Well, the Lord wants something marvelous to express him, and that's the one new man. And so 2,000 years ago, as Ben mentioned, the one new man was created in himself. You remember? He created in himself. You just think about it. 100 years BC, there was no new man on this earth. But 2,000 years ago, there's a new creation. There's the old creation, but there's a whole new creation that is coming to being 2,000 years ago, and that's the one new man. Marvelous. Well, I think the main burden that I'd like to point out in this message, and Ben has mentioned it, and that is, the one new man was created on the cross, and now the one new man is in us, right? But there's something going on. There's a process going on, because you know the little phrase, there's the matter of the renewing. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Being renewed. Let's all say that. Being renewed.
Being.
We're in the process. I mean, we're all, in a sense, in a corporate way, we're just a caterpillar. And we're in the process of becoming what? A butterfly.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor you're a butterfly in the making. You need to look at each other that way. You need to consider, hey, I see a butterfly forming. Don't look at each other and say, oh, caterpillar. You know, don't get bothered. Oh, he's a caterpillar. She's a caterpillar. One day, I don't know if she'll ever become a butterfly. No, don't think like that. We're all being renewed. Being renewed unto full knowledge according to the image of him who created him. This is what you have to see. You know, in Romans chapter 12, you have that verse. You know, don't be conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. The church in Rome was young when Paul wrote this. And the first verse, he said, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, if you have a new church life, and the church in Rome was new, if you had all the bodies there, what kind of church life will you have? Well, you've got problems, because everybody comes with different concepts, different thoughts, different ways of thinking. You have ordinances about everybody. Well, what kind of church life is that? Well, our bodies are there. Look, the meetings hall's full. But you'll have all kinds of concepts, all kinds of problems. So that's why Paul says in verse 2, what? Be transformed by the renewing of the mind. There's a big need here. Don't just present your body. Hallelujah, your bodies are here. But now we're under a process of what? Being renewed. You need to be encouraged. We're being renewed. Tell your neighbor, you're being renewed.
You're being renewed.
Amen. It's happening. We're in the process. We're on the way. And now, I'm just going to share just a little bit regarding these last few points. And I would say what follows is a kind of a, if you look at point C, there's a word there called experiential. You can put a square around that or whatever. And in chapter D, you have a word practical. We'd like to make this even practical, experiential and practical, this matter of the one new man and putting on the one new man. Putting on the new man is an altogether matter of getting more of the Spirit into our thinking. Because when you get the Spirit into your thinking, you are transformed. What does that verse say? Be transformed by what? The renewing of the mind. When the Lord gets into our thinking, we're a changed person. You know, I can remember one day I was in a meeting, and I can still remember the place where I was, and I had a certain thought about the Lord's coming. I grew up this way. I thought a certain way about His coming. But then I was in the church life, and I never brought it up. I had my own concept, but I can still remember through the Word and through the speaking, the Lord enlightening me. My thoughts began to change, and I realized, I can't believe this. I now believe something else. I have a different thought. And it was a wonderful thought, but it had come through the Word. It had come through the fellowship. Now my thought, my thought used to be this, now it's a whole different thought about the Lord's coming. Anyway, in the church life, our mind is being renewed. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's worth it. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're being renewed. Amen. We're being transformed. Amen. We're becoming the real divine butterflies. Amen. Something beautiful to the Lord. Well, in just these couple points, let's just read. Begin by reading point C. To put on the new man in an experiential way, we need to take Christ as our person. Brothers 1.
The church is the new man.
And in this new man, there's only one person. 2. Christ. Sisters 2. Live by our new person. 3 altogether. When we live by taking Christ as our person, especially in making decisions, our living will be the living of the new man. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, I just like to give another little example in our decisions. As the Lord is working in us, we watch others. Sometimes they'll start to do something, they'll change their mind, and you realize, wow, that was the Lord. Or someone starts to say something, they don't say it, that's the Lord. So the Lord is, our choices are changing. One time, this just happened recently. We had a retreat with all the college students before school starts. We go up to Malibu, we go camping with all the incoming freshmen and all of our existing students. We camp for several days out there. And one young brother who's not in college, he was a junior high brother. Is it junior high? We borrowed his football, and we lost his football. So we're at the part we can't find. Where did that football go? Eventually, we came back. It was gone. So we've got to replace his football. Well, I got a gift card to cover the cost of the football so he could go to Sports Authority and get him a new football. And I saw his dad. And this is just a little thing. I saw his dad. I was in a meeting with him, with a few of us. And my thought was, well, just give it to his dad. His dad can give it to his son. Yeah, here. And he can go home, give his son here. This is to replace football. That would have been okay, right? No problem. But, you know, I had a different thought. I thought, no, I need to go give this to him personally. So it's really sweet. I said amen to the Lord. I didn't do that, what I initially thought. Instead, I had another thought, and I went, and I saw the young brother. I knocked on the door. They went and got the boy. He came, and the family was all there. And I just had to tell him, so-and-so, I'm sorry we lost your football. I really apologize. And we just want to give you a gift card to go replace it with whatever football you really want. And there's probably enough left over for you to keep to get something else. And he was just in kind of shock. And you know what I felt? I felt, this is the Lord. I just felt, amen. You know, there's a sloppy way and there's a fine way. And it has to do with the thinking. My way is here, have a card, take it on. You know, that's the way we all are in a sense. But the Lord is more fine than that. So even in our choices, the Lord wants to move in experientially. to give us a new thoughts that are actually Him living in us. And related to this first big point, that in the experiential way, we need to take Christ as our person. The first thing we need to realize is what? There is a person in us. We're not like the others in the world. Ones that are unbelievers, do they have another person living in them? No, they don't. We have Christ living in us. You know, some of the verses that are mentioned here, that Christ, you know, Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may make His home in your hearts. Who's making His home in us? Christ. It's a person. Christ is making home. Let's all declare that. Christ is making home in our hearts. Hallelujah. Then you go to Galatians 2:20. You're familiar with that. Let's sing it. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. No longer I. No longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. He lives. He lives. Oh, Jesus is alive. He's alive. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. There's a person in us. And you have a... We need to put off the old man in Romans 6:6 and point 2. Knowing this, our old man has been crucified with Christ. Well, there's another person living in us. Now then, I think what I want to emphasize right here is under point D. You have put on the new man in a practical way. We need to do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. And there's a verse here, Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name. Do all in the name. And how do you do all things in the name? What does that mean? Do all things in the name. Well, you have to realize with a name, if I say Spencer, look at him, he shook. He got scared all of a sudden. There's a name behind Spencer. It's right there. There's a person here. He woke up. Hallelujah. Spencer. Well, this in the same way, I think we're all clear. On one hand, the Lord is a person. And that person has a name. And His name is Jesus. He's our Lord. Lord Jesus. We call His name, we get a person. And this person is not only a person, this person has now become the life-giving Spirit. So He's the Spirit in us. So the person is in us. Christ is in us. What? The Spirit is within us. The name is within us. So to do things in the name is to do things what? In the person. It's possible to do things in Christ. There was a book written years ago by Brother Lawrence, and I enjoyed it. And he was a monk, and he practiced. I think the name of it was Practicing the Presence of God, something like that. And he was a monk that worked in the kitchen, and he learned to do all things in Christ. Little things, big things, pots and pans. He learned to have God's presence in whatever he was doing. So actually, what was he doing? He was learning the person of Christ. He was enjoying doing things in the name. Doing things in the Spirit. And so actually, there's several verses here that are mentioned. Galatians 5:16, Romans 8:4, you see those? And Philippians 2:21, that's under D2. Do all things in the name. And here's my point. I want to make a point. Saints, when we deal with the Lord, and we talk to the Lord, and touch the Lord, and we walk in the Spirit, these verses have to do with what? Walk in Spirit. Then there's the other verse in Romans 8:4 says, the righteous requirements of the law are fulfilled in those who walk according to the Spirit. Those who walk according to the Spirit. If you walk according to the Spirit, you know what will happen? You will automatically, spontaneously fulfill the righteous requirements of the law. I like to hear things about automatic and spontaneous. Don't you? You know, you think about the Christian life, it can be complicated, but it can come down to a lot of simple things. When you enjoy the Lord, when you turn to the Lord, there's something automatic that happens. You automatically, you spontaneously, you live out the righteousness of Christ. Amen. He lives in you. To walk in the Spirit is to walk in Him. And when you're walking in Him, who's living?
Christ
is living. Who's expressed? Christ is expressed. So, another aspect of this is what? This is what deals with all the ordinances. You know, we're together in the new man. He's been created. He's in us. But now our mind is being renewed. We're being renewed unto full knowledge. He's getting the Spirit into our minds. Well, how is He doing this? What's a practical way for Him to move in and deal with all the ordinances? Enjoy the Lord. Let's all say that. Enjoy the Lord. Tell your neighbor, enjoy the Lord. Tell them, walk by the Spirit. It's a matter of the Spirit. There's an automatic, when you touch, when we live and walk and move in the Spirit, there's so much that happens. You know, for example, to walk by the Spirit, what does that mean? I mean, listen, you're eating when you're, actually a lot of you, your breakfast is waning, right? You're living by breakfast. Now what do you need to live by? You need some more eating so you can live. You know, everybody's somewhat fading a little bit, right? Well, the food's wearing off. What you need is some lunch. And that food will supply you, energize you, right? Spontaneous, you'll live this afternoon. You'll make it through whatever you need to go through. How? By your eating. The Lord said, if you eat me, you'll live because of me.
Amen.
Is that spontaneous?
Yes.
You eat me, you'll live because of me.
Amen.
Well, in the same way, as we eat the Lord, enjoy the Lord, we sing, we pray, we call, we thank, we rejoice. All these things deal with all the negative things among us.
Amen.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
It's automatic. Amen. You know, Ben knows me. He gave some examples. When I came to Los Angeles 6 years ago, I can still remember we were in the table meeting and there was a song and I just felt like, oh. I just felt, you know, and I had the words in my mind, boy, this train is going to stop. You know, you had the feeling, you know, it's going to get so slow, it's just going to end. You know, just... Because there is a culture. There's a culture there in Texas that it's not totally like that, Ben, really. But I've just been around the young people too much, and you like the livelier songs. And so it's like, get that piano moving, you know, and faster, you know, finish it first. I did do that sometimes. I was afraid at first. I'd try to get somebody else to do it, but... Now I do it. Anyway. But what deals with that? You know, I was so surprised. I was in New Zealand, and we were singing, and the song was, it started off, and it was that song, I think, Take Time to Behold Him. And it was so slow. I mean, seriously. It wasn't, take time to behold Him. It was, take time to behold Him. It was really slow. But you know what I had to do? I had to turn to my Spirit.
Yeah.
Had to turn to the Lord.
Yeah.
Guess what happened? I enjoyed the Lord.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that slow song. I actually paid attention to the words. It's really a good song. Oh, the time to behold Him. Every line was just precious. I had a turn. And all of a sudden, as slow as it was, the Lord was there in every word, every line, every verse. I really enjoy that. So, touching the Lord deals with all our ordinances. You know, I don't know if it hasn't quite got to the point of chopsticks and the right utensils. No, I'm just kidding. You know, which one? Well, forget about it. Just enjoy the Lord. Anyway, praise the Lord for the new man.
Amen.
In the new man, there's no such thing. Amen. Who's in the new man? Christ. Just Christ. Are there any Texans in the new man?
No.
Are there Californians in the new man?
No.
Hallelujah. That's right. Are there any cowboys in the new man?
No.
Any surfers in the new man?
No.
No. Hallelujah. Christ is all.
Amen.
He's in all.
Amen.
He's all of you, and He's in all of you.
Amen.
Hallelujah for the new man.
Amen.
Then let me just finish up here, okay? Okay, Roman numeral 3. The new man is Christ constituted into us. So this is, you see this in the title, putting on the new man and the constitution and renewing of the new man. For the as we're being renewed, there's something going on. He's getting constituted into us. Something of Him is being added to us. Okay, then A, brothers, as the one who indwells us and who is our life, Christ is the constituent of the new man. Okay, sisters, 2, a B. Hallelujah. We enjoy. What happens? We get constituted. He becomes our constituent. Altogether, C. Only room for Christ. There is no room for the natural man. Hallelujah. There cannot be. I love that. Let's all say that. There cannot be.
Even,
why don't you go ahead and say, there's no you. And
there's no me.
But there is Christ. And there's still something of you there. Hallelujah. But you're being renewed. Amen. Okay. Then, one, since Christ is all in all in the new man, and we are part of the new man, we are part of Christ. Then two, the only way for Christ to be all in all in the new man is for Him to be constituted into us. And this verse is really good. You remember in John 14, the Lord said, if you keep my words, my Father will love you. And then what? We will come. We will come to Him and what? Make an abode with Him. In other words, this is Him getting constituted in us as we keep the word. And love Him. He who loves me and keeps my word. Then Roman numeral 4, altogether. Concerning the new man, we need to be renewed unto full knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. Amen. Let's all say renewed. I hope you like that word. Let's say it again. Renewed. Let's say it even a little longer. Renewed. You got to taste it. You know what I mean? To me, that just helps. Renewed. We're being renewed. You know, in Revelation, there's that little phrase, behold, I make all things new. This is the Lord speaking. Behold, I make all things new. Does that mean, okay, here, have some newness? Here, have some new, something new over there. Here, have some newness. Behold, I make all things new. Here, oh, he's new. What does it mean? It's behold, I. It's I make all things new. I. It's Him. What's new in the universe? It's Him. He makes everything new. He makes you new. He makes your school new. He makes your life new. He makes everything new. When you have Him, you're in newness. Anyway, I love that. We're being renewed unto full knowledge. Okay, then quickly, A, brothers, the new man is being renewed unto full knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. Sisters, 1. Okay, read that again, sisters, and all the brothers have to have a amen, okay? Pay attention. Is Christ.
Amen.
Wonderful.
Amen.
Amen. Sisters, 2. I mean, brothers, 2. Amen. Okay, B, all together. The renewing of the new man depends on our seeking the things which are above. That's Colossians 3:1-2. Hallelujah. Seeking things which are above. Then one, brothers,
if we return to the heavenly Christ
with all his activity, spontaneously, amen. Sisters, too. Amen. So I just want to remind us all, you know, there's these verses under point one there, and that is in Hebrews 8. And there's actually some verses right before that in Hebrews 7. But in Hebrews 8, 1, you know what it says? He says, after all the things he's been talking about, he says, now in the things that we're saying, the chief point is this. Now, that's when you should pay attention, right? The chief point is this. What is it? In Romans 8, he says, we have such a high priest. Such a high priest. Such a high priest. We have a heavenly high priest. And this high priest, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty of God. Majesty in the heavens, right? So, we have such a high priest. And what's that high priest doing in Hebrews 7? You know what he's doing right now? He's interceding for us. He wants to save us to the uttermost. And who does he do that to? For those who come forward to God. The first thing I want you to realize and remember, listen, the Lord is right now interceding for you. Tell your neighbor, he's interceding for you. Sorry, Brother Ben, he's interceding for you. Hallelujah. He's interceding for us. And what does he want to do? He wants to save us, what does that verse say? To the uttermost. That, what is that? That's him renewing our minds to the uttermost. But what do we need to do on our part? We need to come forward. Amen. Come forward. He's ready to be taken. What do? Come forward. Come get him. Take him. Enjoy him. Love him. And spontaneously, as we love and enjoy him, the Spirit gets into our mind. He gets constituted in us spontaneously. Right? All the ordinances are taken care of. All the things that the Lord took care of on the cross, they're real. Right? They really were all dealt with on the cross. But what's happening now? Experientially, practically, they're being taken care of. You know, we just have concepts about different ones. Some people we think, oh, they're too loud. You know, and sometimes I've done this, you know, someone's too loud, and I'm in front of everybody. You know. Not quite that overt, but, you know, and some are too quiet. It's like, can you speak up? Can't hear you. You know, we just, and we get bothered. You're too loud. You're too quiet. You know. When you praise, you scream. You know, you have thoughts. Or you're sharing, it's too long. Not enough spirit. Oh, where's the word? You know. You know, we can have all kinds of crazy thoughts. We're not renewed in our thinking. The Lord has to take us on. We need to be renewed unto full knowledge. Put off. What are the things again? Put off. Then what? Put on. Be renewed. Yeah, there we go. Hallelujah. You got it? You need to remind each other about those points. That's good. Okay. And let's read the focus, and then we'll leave it up to you. You have a few minutes. You could share a little bit, a little overflow. Again, what we want to do is what? Practice giving one another what? The Spirit. Amen. Give life. Amen. And just remember, food is on the way. You'll be okay. All right? There's still time to build up the body. Okay, all together on the focus. The new man is the ultimate goal of God's economy and has been created, but requires our cooperation to put on the new man, to be constituted with the new man Christ, and to be renewed unto full knowledge according to the image of Him.